for practicing.
Great. One person's been practicing gladness. Excellent. Gladness and generosity. That's what we've been looking at in the last month. And this month we move to fellowship. It's February already. It's flying, isn't it, this year? But this morning we gather and we start this concept of looking at fellowship from these early part of the early church in the New Testament in Acts. So let's find that gladness on our faces this morning, in our hearts, that generosity in our spirit as we gather. And here's some of the words of the next song. One day, every tongue will confess you are God. One day, every knee will bow. Still, the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Do you believe that? That one day, every tongue will confess that God is God? Absolutely. That's what this is about. And we gather as a fellowship this morning to look at that together. Let's sing. The worship band are going to take us through the next song, and then we'll go straight into a song with our band as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
response.
Well done.
We're going to quieten our minds now and have a time of prayer and reflection together. I don't know about you, but prayers can happen, can't they, in all sorts of places, all sorts of times, all sorts of reasons, all sorts of ways. We've been told, haven't we, many times from this platform that prayers don't have to be clever. They don't have to be long. They don't have to be complicated. They don't have to use big words. But I think one thing they do have to do is be sincere. And I think we need to remember that when we pray. And to help us consider that, I'd like us, before we pray, to read through the words of a poem that was written many, many years ago and that appears in our songbook, that perhaps challenges each one of us about the sincere quality of our prayers. So if we can read this through, you, and if we can have this up. These challenging words, I don't recall ever singing them, apart from with Songs Brigade, but I don't recall singing them as a congregational song. But I thought, all together now as a body, we could just read these through, really think about the words we are reading, and see what it does within our hearts. Shall we read together? I often say my prayers, but do I ever pray? And do the wishes of my heart go with the words I say? I may as well bow down and worship gods of stone as offer to the living God a prayer of words alone. For words without the heart the Lord will never hear, nor will he to those lips attend whose prayers are not sincere. Lord, show me what I need and teach me how to pray, nor let me ask thee for thy grace, not feeling what I say. Challenging, isn't it? Slightly different approach, perhaps, to praying this morning. Rather than praying with you, for you, I want to perhaps facilitate you to think about various people within our fellowship, what our fellowship is. We're thinking about fellowship today. So if I just give you one or two headings, and then after each one, we'll just have a few seconds of quiet while you, to yourself, personally pray and think of these. I'd like you to bring to mind, make it specific, somebody who no longer worships with us. Perhaps somebody who used to sit next to you. Perhaps somebody who was here for many years and is no longer here. Perhaps somebody who only came once or twice and then drifted away. But just at this moment, please think of that person and pray for them. And now I'd like you to think of somebody who perhaps you may know who is doubting their faith. Somebody who's not quite sure anymore. Think of them. Be specific. Think of their name in your mind, if you can, and pray for them. This might be a hard one. I'd like you to pray for somebody you find difficult. Somebody who perhaps you feel is, or the world might feel, is a hopeless case. You know, the sort of person who really winds you up. The sort of person who perhaps lives a life that you think is really way off what the Lord would have them do. In doing that, I would just remind you that that's a big ask. But again, I refer a lot to songs, I don't apologise for that, but there are also words in our songbook that say that thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such that none can ever ask too much. So this might be a big ask, but pray for that person. Thank you.
I'd like you to think about the person who lives next door to you. If there's an empty house next door to you, pray for the person who's coming. They could all be part of our fellowship. They're all around us. They're all local. Please pray for them just now. And finally, I'd like you to pray for anybody else you know in our fellowship who needs our prayers in a special way just now. I think particularly of the Cracknell family, as Janet is laid to rest tomorrow, and ask that you'll be very near to them and you'll hold them up in your prayers tomorrow. I hope you can see that all these thoughts are around fellowship, about coming together, about encouraging others, about having the same purpose. And so, dear Lord, I would thank you for all my friends who belong to this fellowship. We each, Lord, have our own peculiar ways, our own function in this church, but we all want to work together to extend your kingdom. Please, Lord, keep us from petty arguments and careless words, which we are all guilty of. Help us to minister to each other, to care for each other and to love each other. And help us, Lord, to care about the people whose names we have just privately thought about. And now, Lord, we pray that we'll enjoy this time of fellowship together in your house. May we be inspired and challenged to serve you better. Amen.
Thank you so much, John. It's great to share that time with each other in that way. Another person to add to that for you this morning, Jonah is currently away on a Salvation Army program, so I ask you to consider praying for him. I'm sure you're praying for all of our young people on a really regular basis, but Jonah is part of a program called Transformers, which runs over about a year. Over the course of about a year, has, I think, three different residential weekends, of which one... He's on one of this weekend, away somewhere, sleeping on a boat, something like that. I've seen some pictures on Facebook. Where are they, Chris?
They're just in Tollesbury, just near Tiptree.
Tollesbury near Tiptree. But the concept of this year for these young people is that they're asked to take part on this journey. It's about discipleship. It's about growing in their faith. It's about growing in their leadership skills as well. And so he's meeting with a number of other young people and key people speaking into their lives over the course of those weekends. So remember Jonah, please. And all of our other young people. And it's great to see Ben here this morning. I've seen him giving you a few of you a hug already. Ben spent a few years with us. It's a while ago now, Ben. A few bit. Great to see you. Welcome back. And to any of you visiting this morning, you are so welcome to be with us. Kirsty, do we have a song? Where's Kirsty? Have we got a song? Would you like to come and introduce it? Let's invite the young people up to sing for us.
Good morning. We might need a little bit of help this morning from everybody. We are singing If You're Happy and You Know It, which I'm sure you are all very happy this morning.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it's not your feet. If you're happy and you know it's not your feet. If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it's not your feet. If you're happy and you know it, shout your name. If you're happy and you know it, shout it, hey.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, shout it, hey.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, two or three.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, two or three.
Wasn't that wonderful? The joy in that, hey? Gladness. Beautiful. Thank you, kids. Really appreciate that. Okay, it's your turn again. This worked so well last time, we've come back to it. So we're thinking about this concept of fellowship. So that you might have your complete own interpretation of that in your mind. So this morning we're going to touch on two angles of fellowship. Now the first bit, I'm going to warn you to be really, really careful. Because what I'd like us to do, and go with me, is perhaps share a few examples of where you've experienced fellowship that hasn't been so great. So, the warning is, no names, no locations, let's not do any of that. But actually, where have you experienced fellowship where it wasn't so great? What were the things about that that made it not so great? How did it make you feel? Is anybody brave enough to start that for us? Oh, look at this, front row, here we go.
James and I went to a really big church in London, really well known. We went there for, I think, 3 or 4 weeks on the trot. And in the first 3 weeks, no one had spoken to us. I think it was just too big. And on the fourth week, we finally decided we should go and kind of introduce ourselves at the welcome desk. And I have to say it was the most unwelcoming welcome desk I've ever experienced. So we stopped going there and we went somewhere else.
Thank you. Sorry you had to go through that. Oh, it's just being passed down the line. It's a family affair at the moment.
When I first moved to Suffolk, I went to the church that everyone had recommended that I should go to. And it was an Anglican church. And when they shared the peace, nobody shared the peace with me. Literally, I was sat in the middle of a row of people and everyone around me shared the peace and just blanked me. So I didn't go to that church anymore after that.
Thank you for sharing. I was with somebody this week at our local diocese office based in Ipswich. I was there for work, and he was sharing me that he'd been in a really good meeting with a church minister this week. And that church minister then said, name of the person, this week we had 4 young people hanging out in the porch of our church. Now, this guy's role is about youth, so he got all excited. He said, oh, brilliant, you're going to install Wi-Fi, you're going to serve them hot chocolate. He said, don't worry, I chased them away with a stick. And that was genuine. Okay. Let's move away from the church so we don't really slam the church completely. Any other examples of where fellowship has been poor that you've experienced? Because it doesn't just have to be in the church situation. One more, perhaps. Anybody? Oh, okay, look at this.
We went to a family wedding, and it was a really nice wedding, but one or two of us had a serious bout of food poisoning afterwards the next day, which was not very pleasant. There you go. So it was church-related, because it was in a church, but the reception wasn't, and, not very nice experience.
We are really pleased as a family you've come to this church. We just want you to know that. And you've stayed, so hopefully something's been helpful. Let's move on really quickly. What about great examples of fellowship? Let's shorten that time frame. In the last week or 2 weeks, makes you really think specifically about this. Where have you experienced good fellowship? Claire.
So I'm really fortunate that I work for a Christian organisation, and we are able to pray. We aim to pray every morning, and we come together as a team, people from different walks of life and different experiences, and we come together and we pray together every morning and just lift each other up, ready for the day or the week ahead. So, yeah, this week we've experienced such fellowship in the office.
Great. What a privilege. Thank you. This is an example of a fellowship within our wider family. This group here, and there's lots of groups, and we'll come to that later on. Anybody in the band? Chris, thank you.
Great, they can both have a go.
Fortuitously, no food poisoning from band practice. But what I would say is that actually, for those of you who perhaps aren't coming to band practice, perhaps come and listen to us, there is a strong sense of fellowship in the band. And I know sometimes we're perhaps seen as being over here and you're over there, but we genuinely feel a purpose of mission and a purpose of supporting worship. But actually within our own group, we've had some very emotional, very spiritual moments within our band practice. We have a middle section where we kind of have a reflection. But I genuinely believe that each one of us within this band genuinely support each other in fellowship. There's a genuine sense of camaraderie and a kind of how are you doing, and you can and share that. And I think actually, for me personally, I find that a real spiritual blessing. I love band practice. I love the fact that we have a moment of worship, and there's been tears. There's been moments where we've had to actually stop practice and just have a moment of prayer, and you know, and I just really am. I thank God for the band, actually, because it's been a real blessing for us.
Thanks, Chris. Heather?
I feel the same about band practice. It is one of those special times. As you probably know, John and I have just bought a house in the... we've just taken down the level of Trinity St Martin. We've just moved into there. A very quiet street. We probably will change that with two dogs and two cats, but hey. But all the neighbours in the last 2 days have been round in this close. There's 10 houses. Every one of them have come round to probably be nosy, see what we're doing and that sort of thing. But I've actually, they've come in with bottles of wine and somebody brought in a cake, and we've had all sorts of things. And I think the community like that is really good, and it's really helpful to us, and it was hopefully we can be helpful to spread the word that we've got with them.
Great, thank you. What an opportunity. Moving house brings that opportunity, doesn't it? When you go into somewhere completely new, to see what community exists, if there is community, and how, as a Christian, somebody who believes, how we can influence that space. We got one with Neil. Brilliant, thank you.
Hi there. Right, so a lot of you here like Facebook, don't you? Spend a lot of time on it scrolling through. Now, I don't particularly like Facebook because it's very easy to spend a lot of time just scrolling through, but I am reminded that for a lot of people, for me in my day job, actually that online community is really important. So, you know, I'm based at home a lot of the time. I'm keeping in touch with the rest of my team, instant messaging, video, whatever. But also that's true for lots of things like Facebook Messenger. That kind of thing. I was reminded, particularly this week, Facebook Messenger's group for the songsters, and a couple of different requests for prayer have come in for that. So actually, whilst technology is not always our friend and it's easy to waste a lot of time, it's also a great way sometimes of sharing things that perhaps we wouldn't otherwise do because we don't necessarily physically meet. So that's an important part of my life, and you know, something that is a blessing as well as a bit of a curse on occasions too.
Yeah, thank you, Neil. And as many of you know, recently we've had a WhatsApp group set up just purely for prayer requests within the church. And it was a great example recently of when Maggie and John's new granddaughter was really ill and in hospital. And Maggie, you know, instinctively just put straight on there, please, friends, pray. We need prayer. That's great, isn't it? That we've hooked into that and said that that's really important. But yeah, it's an online fellowship. It's an electronic community. Now, you may not like that. That's okay. But for those people that engage with that, that has a real sense of developing community and fellowship together. Time for one more, if there is one more. Right, oh, there's a... Brilliant, Rose, thank you.
Yeah, I was invited to a prayer group when it was Sheila and Trevor's and Sheena and Jim's golden wedding anniversaries. It was after John's discussion about eating and sharing with a meal, and we all had this wonderful meal, and I felt instantly as if I belonged. I was part of this group, and everybody was so friendly and welcoming. I think it's one of the best things I've done for an awfully long time. That's it.
Isn't that just wonderful? Can you see how the habits are connecting? Just in that short time there, we've talked about praying, we've talked about eating together, we've talked about gathering in small groups, we've talked about fellowship. I'm going to keep banging on about gladness. We can do more of that. But all of those things just interconnecting to create fellowship and to create community for us. It's wonderful. Thank you for engaging in that. Now I think you're going to come and pray.
My mic is on. Thanks, Ewan. Okay, so guys and girls of Sunday school, it's about time for you to go out and those in youth. But before you go, don't rush off. We're just going to pray for you, okay? I'll pray for you and your teachers and that you have a fab time today. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray for your amazing blessings over the next few minutes as the children go out to Sunday school and go to their youth class. Lord, I just pray that you will bless them abundantly, encourage them, give them joy, give them excitement. And I pray too for the teachers that you will give them the right words to say as they try and teach these lovely, lovely guys about you and about your love and about your joy and about your peace. I pray too for all of those children who come here during the week, those who come to Explorers. And I just pray your blessing upon that work too and upon Gemma and the team, that you will continue to inspire and to strengthen them and to guide them. Lord, I just pray that you'll be with them all now. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So you can go, and as they go out, we will take up your offering, please. Thank you very much.
Dear Lord, take these gifts that have been given freely this morning. We just ask you to use them for the extension of your kingdom. We just pray for the gifts that we may have within us as well, Lord. We offer those up to you as well. So we just ask your blessing upon each of our lives. Amen. Okay, John has finally managed to get his Christmas celebration in with his grandchildren. So that's why John isn't with us. John and Rosie aren't with us this morning. They're with their grandchildren. And so he's asked if I could just deputise in the role of doing the announcement. So as John would love me to say is, please join us for tea and coffee afterwards into our community hall, where we'll be able to carry on sharing in fellowship there. Just looking ahead to the week ahead, we just want to just draw attention to the fact that obviously tomorrow is Janet Cracknell's funeral and Thanksgiving service. And for those of us who won't be able to make it, just for the family, we will be praying for you and we will have you in our thoughts at that time. As we move through the week as well, there's no cafe on Tuesday, but actually if you look in the announcements, if you look across, actually you get the new timings for the cafe, Oasis Cafe timings, and going forward from next week, commencing the 17th of February, you'll see that they are now on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'd just also like to draw your attention that we will be having a safe and sound training session next Sunday. And if you are prepared to help out and work with young people and young children, then please, if you could add your name to the list, which is just in the entrance to the hall, there is a sort of light lunch going to be provided, and then we will have a training session. You must actually attend that if you are helping with young people. It's more for your awareness and understanding so that we can operate a safe church with our young people. And actually, one of those things, especially with Explorers, with Gemma and her team running those on Thursday evenings, you know, we're regularly asking for support within that. So, it does all link in to the support of fellowship and worship that goes on in our church over the week. I just also would like to draw your attention to the fact that although there'll be no evening meeting this week or next week, actually on the 16th of February, we'll be having our winter celebration with the band and songsters. On that day, we will have Mark and Emma Scott with us again, who obviously have family connections here, and it'd be lovely to see them. But of course, if you could join us on that evening of celebration at 5:30 on the 16th, that'd be great. Actually, one of the good things as well is you can plan out your holidays and just check who you'll be missing over if you look through the brochure. It's a really well-programmed event of people who'll be leading our services. But also, it's just one of those things that we can also add into our prayer, because you can actually put a name to those people who'll be leading our service while they're thinking about our service and thinking of our fellowship again. So please, just consider that. Just like to draw your attention to a couple of events as well. Again, fellowship is following all the way through. We will have a YP annual breakfast on the 16th of February. I also like to draw your attention to the fact that there's a pancake party. But please, if you're sitting there thinking it's just another event organised for young people, think again. It is an all-age event. And although it's free to enter, you know, you can come in and perhaps provide a donation to that event as well on the pancake party. So please, just think of our core as we go through the entire week. Lots going on, and your prayers and support will be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Okay, next up we're going to have the message from the songsters. And you might remember, was it last week or the week before? I can't remember, when John had the problem of spelling, "Now thank we all our God." Well, today, the challenge, we're having a song called "Saviour, You Are Our God." When I read that, I did chuckle to myself. But there we go. So at least he hasn't got to sing the words today. He might get himself in a right old muddle, mightn't he? So here we are, the Songsters with Saviour, You Are Our...
Songsters. Thank you, Kevin. That was great. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles, we're just going to look at a few verses of Scripture. And this morning we're in John, chapter 17, starting at verse 6. Words will come up on the screen for you as well. In terms of context, there's a few bits and pieces that have been going on in Jesus' life at this point. Jesus has promised the Holy Spirit. This is not long after Jesus has predicted his own death. And this section also comes just before Jesus is arrested in John's account of his life. So John 17, verse 6. Jesus prays for his disciples. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you. And they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by your power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be as one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. And then Jesus goes on to pray for all of his believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and I have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given to me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Amen. This morning we're going to use a video that's a little bit longer than normal, so 12, 13 minutes or so. But that will be the bulk, the majority of what we share this morning as a message. So we're going to go to that. So make sure if you can't hear it for any reason, you just turn and wave at Ewan, and then he can just put the volume up a little bit more for you. But I hope that this will be a really good introduction for you into the concept of fellowship.
When you first realize what God is like, it's very natural and proper to respond in fear or even terror. But then God explains to you, look, there's nothing else you have to fear in life now. And now you are my child, and it's an amazing feeling. And then he says, and I want you to follow Jesus. I want you to be like him. I want you to live like him. And you realize, wow, following Jesus, that means I give everything up. But then you realize, no, this is worth it. This is a good thing. This is what I want to do. But at times, it may even feel overwhelming or impossible. And Jesus says, that's why I'm giving you my spirit. He's going to empower you. He's going to lead you. And he's going to enable you to accomplish this mission that I've given you on this earth. And so when you begin to understand these three interwoven entities, it's like your whole world has to change. And it's like all these years you've been living one way, you've been thinking just about yourself and doing your thing, and now you realize you're a part of something bigger. It's like stepping into a whole new world, because now you've got a mission. But what is that mission? He says, after he rose from the grave, he says, I want you to go and I want you to obey everything that I commanded you, but I also want you to teach others to obey everything that I've commanded. This is what we call discipleship. And Jesus said, he says, I want you to go and I want you to make disciples of all the nations. I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I want you to teach them to obey everything that I commanded you to do. While I understood that, I never understood something until later on in my life. As I read in the scriptures, I realized God doesn't want me to do this by myself. He doesn't want me just to follow him on my own. That's why he created church, the church. He says, now you're part of a group of people. You don't do this by yourself. See, in my mind, when I thought of church, I would think of a building or I would think of a service. But when you read the Bible, that's not what it's talking about. In fact, if Jesus was on the earth right now and you asked Jesus, hey, where's the church? He's not going to give you an address or point to a building. He would explain, no, the church, those are the people on this planet who fear me, who follow me, and are filled with the Spirit. We now, before God, should have a fellowship together, a sharing, not just of thoughts, ideas, but a sharing of everything to really care for one another. And that's this idea of fellowship. It's sharing as a family. It's sharing as a like a body, like a temple. We're part of something bigger. And this word fellowship is so huge in the Bible. And this drives me crazy because for so much of my life, it was almost like an afterthought. When I would think of fellowship, I would think, oh, there was that one part of the church building called the Fellowship Hall, and after our gathering on Sunday morning, we would go in the Fellowship Hall, and one guy would bring dessert, another guy would bring cupcakes, another guy would bring some meat, and we'd have this thing called the potluck in the Fellowship Hall, and so that meal together was fellowship, or in church we would have fellowship night where we get together and play softball, and so to us, that's fellowship. But in the Bible, man, it is so much more intense than that. In the Bible, man, there's this awesome passage in Acts 4, verse 32, and it says that the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. And then it says this, that no one claimed that any of his possessions belonged to himself, but instead that they would share everything in common, and they would give as people had need. There was a sense of mission together. This is what he meant by fellowship. Now that's a lot different from a potluck. It's this idea that we're one now. We're family. There was this guy that came to my church once, and he was a part of a gang, and decided to ditch everything and follow Jesus, and he got baptized. And after a while, though, he stopped coming to the church gatherings, and one of my buddies asked him, they go, hey, where you been? He says, when I got baptized, he goes, I thought that it was going to be like when I got jumped into the gang. He goes, when I got jumped into my gang, he goes, suddenly everyone had my back. We became like a family 24/7. He says, so when I got baptized, I thought, this is what's going to happen with the Christians. He goes, I didn't know that it was just Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. He goes, I thought it was going to be family. So he goes, I just had it wrong in my head. And yet when I heard that, I thought, no, you got it right. We've got it wrong. And honestly, it was heartbreaking because I thought, the gangs are a better picture of family than the church is? The gangs are a better picture of the body than we are? They're having a fellowship and a sharing that we don't see in the Church of Jesus Christ. And yet that's the very thing that Jesus wanted for us. You see, even this mission that we've been sent on, he says, we together, we're supposed to together proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. This idea of proclaiming it, I can't do that without other people. See, I can talk about Jesus. I can talk about Jesus by myself, but I can't show Jesus to other people. Here's what I mean. I can tell you, Jesus forgives you. Jesus forgives you. Jesus is forgiving. But that's not enough. God says, I want you to show Jesus to the world. So that means I need my brothers and sisters around me, and we offend one another, but we keep forgiving. And then suddenly the world looks on and goes, man, I've never seen that before. You guys just keep forgiving each other. You see, unity is so strange in our world. We live in a time when people are so quick to ditch one another. And God says, I want my church to be different. I want this one group of people that are devoted to sharing their lives together, sharing this mission together. When someone offends you, you forgive them. And then suddenly people are seeing the attributes of Christ. They're seeing it in the flesh. It's almost like that. What Jesus did in putting God to flesh so that we could dwell amongst him, he says, now that's the church's responsibility. I want you to love each other so much. And when you do that, they'll actually see God. His plan was fellowship. His plan, he says in John 17, when Jesus is praying, he says to God, he goes, I and them, you and me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you have sent me. There's something about our unity that makes the message believable. And that's why we can't do it by ourselves. Look, if I'm perfectly honest, I am far more comfortable doing this by myself. It's a lot easier. I don't have to put up with different personalities and different arguments. It's just nicer. Let me just have my own relationship with God. But God says, that's not what I designed you for. Here's the mission. I need you to show Jesus to the world by the way that you interact with one another and love one another. So if I'm to accomplish this mission that God's given me, I need others with me. I got to have them with me. And if you think about it, this is how he designed human beings. We weren't meant to live in isolation. And this completely flies in the face of those who say, I've got my relationship with God. I don't need the church. I don't need, you know, these little gatherings, or, you know, I love Jesus, I just hate the church. We can't say that. You're going against everything Jesus asked you to do. God says, I designed you to be together. It's so beautiful when you work together and have one heart, one mind, one soul. And he says, and I'm going to do this. The beautiful thing, Jesus said 2,000 years ago, I will build my church, and the gates of hell won't stand against it. I will create this type of supernatural unity and gathering. And so it's not something that we have to force, like, okay, let's do the fellowship thing. Let's make it happen. No, God says, I'm going to make it happen. And the question is do you want to be a part of it? Do you want to have this sharing, this fellowship that God intended for his church? Or do you want to continue living in isolation? It's an exciting time right now because I'm seeing God just bring people from all different parts of the world, and they're all having the same conviction of church was meant to be more. There was supposed to be a greater unity, and everyone's feeling the same thing. Everyone's sensing the same thing, going, the way we've been doing it doesn't seem biblical. When I read in the Bible, there should be a deep love. It's not just a bunch of people coming in a room and staring forward. It's a family. It's a body. And I'm talking to these people. It's been really weird where they're going, this is what I'm thinking, this is what I'm thinking. We're all thinking the same thing. Why? Because there's one Spirit. And he's leading us all to this conviction of things have got to change. There needs to be this fellowship in the church again. And this is something Jesus is doing. Thank you. if you fear God and you've decided to follow Jesus with your life and you really have his spirit in you, then you're my brother. You're my sister. Like in God's eyes, when he looks down, he sees us as family and he wants us to live that way. And that's what he means by fellowship.
One of the things that Francis Chan says in that is that unity is so strange in our world. I don't know if that's how you feel. It's good to throw that out there. But he has this concept that unity is so strange in our world. Interesting to know about him as a person is that he's been this, shall we call him, mega pastor of a mega church over in California. He's grown a church from the beginning, but got up to the 5,000 or so mark of people attending church every week. And he's stepped away from that completely. He stepped away from the fame and possibly the fortune that's come from that to go back to being in small community again and almost a house church style model. And I think it's, look at Neil, because we've had this conversation, I think it's Korea he's now going back to. He's even leaving America and going somewhere else completely to do this in the small house church style of approach. Now, that might not be right for everybody. Totally acknowledge that. But it's interesting to see that he's gone back to that in that way. So we want you to look at these things in your small groups this month if you're in a small group. But here are just simply some of the fellowships that exist within our church community. I simply went to our website. I looked down our program, and these are some of the things that were there. So don't be offended if there's not a group on the screen that you're part of. Okay, don't come and chase me afterwards. Okay, this is just an example for you. But some of the things that happens within this church, which form into the boundaries of fellowship, what we're doing today, gathering together on a Sunday, but cafe, coffee break, parent and toddlers, children's activities such as Explorers, Friends Together, the Sally Crafters group, our small groups, where we gather, different music groups that meet together and share fellowship. You've heard about that from a number of people this morning. The visitation that goes on. What a source of fellowship that provides for people who are perhaps stuck at home or stuck in hospital. Great examples. I think we do this really well. I really do. I think as a church we do this really well. But what can we do as a church community to be an even better fellowship with each other? If you're in a small group and you're following the material that comes out, you'll know that the final question every month is, what can we do as a church community? It's intentionally there to ask you to discuss that in the group and hopefully to feed back to somebody like John E. Here's some things we've been discussing. What if we did this? What if we did that? What can we do as a church fellowship to be in deeper, better fellowship with each other? Where did we start with Holy Habits? Back in July. Do you remember? Prayer. How does prayer and fellowship link together? Well, when we share in that fellowship together, there's the opportunity to pray in a deeper way with each other. So the challenge, how deep is your praying? What came next? It was biblical teaching. The small groups, the small opportunities for fellowship groups together. Give us that space where it's particularly helpful to explore biblical teaching. Can you remember what came next? Serving. Brilliant. The principles of fellowship can be embodied in our serving, honouring those who are served with the best that we can give. I know lots of you enjoyed the next one. We even gave you 2 months to enjoy this. It was eating together. Okay? Relationships grow around the table. How might eating together deepen your relationships and your fellowships with those in your home, your workplace, or your church? Do you even think of your home as being a place of fellowship when you sit around your table, if you sit around a table? Do you class that as fellowship together? And then last month we looked at gladness and generosity. Will you bring joy, gladness, and generosity to the fellowships that you're part of? Chan says that we're part of something that's much bigger than just ourselves. In the Bible, it is so much more. God looks down and sees us as family and wants us to live like that. That's fellowship. So are you seeing those holy habits becoming instinctive in your life? Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you that you've called us to live in fellowship with you and with others. Thank you for the good things we receive by being part of communities both within and outside the church. Thank you for your infinite patience with us when we fall short in our response to the fellowship which you offer to us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Just as we consider what has been shown to us today and what Simon has said, and thinking about fellowship, let's just join together and sing a chorus that we've got in our songbook. All there is of me, Lord, all there is of me. We talk about fellowship with each other, but what we need to do is really start with our fellowship with the Lord. Do we give all that we have of ourselves? Time and talents, day by day, all I bring to thee. On thine altar here I lay. We just lay it all before the Lord. We can open ourselves up to him and let him have all that we can give him, all that we have. Just as we contemplate, let's just sing this together. Take your time to pray. Pray with each other. Do whatever you feel the Lord is leading you to do as we sing together. Praying. We do, of course, have our mercy seat here, a special place. Every place is a special place to pray. But we particularly have this place where you can just come and just lay yourself open to the Lord in prayer. If you'd like somebody to come and pray with you, then they will. If you just want to pray where you are, absolutely fine. If you want to pray afterwards, there'll be people around who will pray with you. But I just pray that you would take this opportunity, if you really need to, open your hearts and your minds to what the Lord is going to say to you. Let's just sing that refrain once again. All there is of me, Lord.
Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come together and to be part of your fellowship. Lord, I just pray that as we have gathered today, that we have opened our hearts and our minds to what you have to say to us. Lord, I just pray that when we have the opportunities, that we will grasp them to show your love, to spread your word, to show your joy, to share your peace with each other and to those who need to hear it. Lord, as we gather in fellowship, wherever we may be, Lord, just help us to know that you are always in the center of it. I just pray, Lord, that we'll continue to build each other up, to enjoy fellowship together. But more importantly, Lord, that we make sure that we keep in touch with you and that we can discern what your will and your plan is for us, Lord, and that we just keep listening and just keep trusting. Lord, I just pray all of this in your precious name. Amen. So, now we've talked about fellowship, let's go out. Let's go out into the world with love in our hearts, with joy in our hearts, and on your face. That's always a good thing. With faith in our hearts, and most importantly, with Christ in our hearts. Let's stand together and sing, and we'll sing all four verses, please. Thank you, Ben. Worship with us this morning. Don't forget, teas and coffees are available, and also if the weather is kind enough, we will be at the Triangle for an open air. But let's just have our benediction together. This is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as great as his power and knows neither measure nor end. 'Tis Jesus, the first and the last, whose spirit shall guide us safe home. We'll praise him for all that is past and trust him for all that's to come. Amen. And the band are going to conclude our worship today by playing Spirit of Fellowship. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.